Straight on goal, Simon!
AFCON 2022.
My name is Ilozinam.
Your boy Shea Wolo.
We are live at the
Bald Gecko Park.
The man is electric!
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Bald Gecko Podcast. I'm Yive, and in the house, I have Ayola Kelechi.
Hey guys,
and
good to be back.
Yeah, super, super good to be back.
Very good to be back.
So, what are we discussing?
You are just
today?
Getting back, but I've been back.
Oh, true, you were back last week. I was back, but I was at the back. You get
God. Who is this guy?
So I was at the back of the camera, but
who is
it's
this
good
guy?
To be in front of the camera, so I'm back in front.
Hello.
Anyway, before Marwa takes us down a rabbit hole, I'm going to be talking about the greatest Nigerian players to ever play for the country. And
so ever wear the green, white, green. The way you say country, you know.
Has there been another color?
No, our country is a very funny thing. So let's just.
But there's never been green, another color. There's always been green, white, green.
So let's know it's Super Eagles. Because okay, some people enough. Are playing for the country and they're playing.
They're not wearing the green, white, green.
All right, so are you go first or I go first?
No, I'll go first by all means.
Yeah, I go first now.
Uh-uh.
So you're number one against
are
my
you,
number
are
one.
Are you shy?
No, I'm a gentleman. Ladies first.
Oh, that means you're definitely not going first.
I gotcha.
Like, without doubt, you have to go first.
Salah!
This is Bald Gecko Park.
Huge for Liverpool, heartbreaking for West Ham.
So my number one. Let me go first. Let me be the bigger man. My number one, definitely, definitely. Who?
Are you asking me?
JJ Okocha.
How many Champions League has he won?
Super Eagles, please. We're talking about Super Eagles.
Isn't he a player for Nigeria that played elsewhere apart from Nigeria?
He's green. We said greatest to ever wear the green, white.
Does it mean that's the only thing that you wore?
That's the only thing.
It's the greatest
concerned.
Nigerian
so
player.
So I'm concerned about CAF. So my number one for me is JJ Okocha. And no doubt.
How many Nations
Cups? He's undoubtedly the most talented footballer.
Yeah,
ever.
Yeah. Talent is different from greatness, obviously.
Dribbles.
Okay.
Some crazy goals, free kicks.
Okay.
The entertainer. You know, the beauty about...
Entertainment is not greatness, is
about
it?
About JJ Okocha. Well, you can define it how you want to define it. Mm. But for me, football is about entertainment.
Should we check the dictionary?
For me, football...
For what greatness is across someone's career.
When it comes to what you're passionate about, you define the terms.
No, not necessarily. That's what dictionary is for. If that was the way it was, then we'd have a dictionary for everything. Movie dictionary that contains words that are already defined in English, but different
so
from movies.
So what's great to you?
For me, great is what you were able to achieve over the course of your career, the social impact you've had, trophies that you've won, the great teams that you've been part of, things like that.
So there are several footballers that have not won trophies. Does that mean they are not great?
They are very good. They are good players, but they may not be great.
So...
And it also depends on how much impact you've had.
For example, so far in his career has not been great.
I don't think he'll go down as one of the greatest English players or strikers if he continues this way and doesn't win a trophy.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay.
Because when you talk about Harry Kane and his goals, then you talk about Alan Shearer, who actually won trophies. You talk about Alan Shearer, who actually was the top scorer for England. Harry Kane probably will do the same thing.
So but let's come back to Nigeria. No we've had several greats that didn't win trophies. Like, okay, Joseph Yobo. I think Joseph Yobo won one. Nations
he did.
Cup.
He won the Nations Cup.
Right now, for a very long time, we've not won anything.
Mm.
The likes of... Victor Moses, he wasn't great for us.
He's won the Europa League. He's won the...
No.
He won the Nations Cup as well.
Yes, he did with Steven Keshi. Who?
You're well, going to struggle, anyway, to, you're going to, struggle to remember a
the truth
truly
is that
great
why,
player.
Why I don't consider trophies as great is that sometimes players are lost in clubs.
Yeah, I agree. I do agree. That's why I said...
That are not good enough.
That's why I said, no, well, I mean...
That are not as good as others.
I agree, but then again, if you're going to look at what has happened over the player's career and the player hasn't played for clubs that, quote unquote, are not good enough, then isn't that a problem already?
You know the problem Okocha has or Okocha had? Okocha to is sad, but it was all about the money for him. Because when he left PSG and then he went to Bolton Wanderers, it was not as if he could not have. PSG were even a bigger team, as far as I'm concerned, compared to going to
at
Bolton.
The time.
But Bolton were ready to pay the amounts that he wanted. And the same time, he left. There was a time he left and then he went to... Was it China?
No, Qatar. He went to Qatar, then he went to Hull City.
And funny enough, those periods when he went to Qatar, that was like when he was in his best spell.
No.
Yes.
No.
For me, that was when he was more
He was already old and he was already starting to lose form. So I think that wasn't, I don't think that would be where we would define as part of his best time.
All right. So my number one definitely is JJ Okocha. Who's your number one?
Well, I think that makes sense as a number one in some ways, because like you said, it's just someone that you really liked. I think he would probably go down as the most talented or probably the best Nigerian player. I'm looking at what I define as greatness. All right, so for me, it would probably be Mikel Obi, because I know a lot of people might think, oh, he wasn't really a starter, but if you actually check the records,
he was a reasonably regular starter. He was the longest of the of that era, so yeah, he was the last player
spent
to
almost
leave.
8 years,
and the only reason he left was because of Nigeria. Funny
at
enough,
the same time, because he went to the Olympics
against
Conte's wishes, and Conte wasn't happy about it, and eventually
he was a starter,
moved him out of the team.
In terms of achievements, I do agree, because he played at Chelsea, man.
I think very few Nigerian players have played at that level.
Funny enough, consistently at that level, because Victor Moses has played at Chelsea too. Yeah. But consistently, and to always be in the starting lineup, Mikel Obi held his own. Man, he held it down. He's on my list, but funny enough,
I think maybe
he's not that high.
Only Kanu would have played at that high level for that period of time. And even when Kanu dropped the level,
even Kanu was not still, wasn't Mikel Smith.
Well, I mean, at Ajax, he did start. He did win the Champions League, came to Arsenal, won a couple of Premier League titles. Maybe he's the one that we'll say wasn't really a regular starter.
Exactly.
But he also made his own impact.
There were reasons why he was not even that. We knew Kanu is not that energy.
Yeah.
With the heart issues that happened along his career. But Mikel has always been a powerhouse. Hard tackle.
The only reason why most people would say, maybe Mikel didn't do as well as we thought he was going to do, maybe he didn't really reach the type of potential that we think he had, which is something I somewhat agree with. Just the same way I look
kind
at,
of dicey. I don't totally agree. Mm. What happened was that, okay, he was more offensive, and then Mourinho converted him to be a defensive, so he was not always in the spotlight. But in terms of getting the work done, in terms of doing what he's supposed to do,
he didn't develop the way that Nigerians expected him to develop.
Because of the tussle of Man U versus Chelsea.
And then everybody thought, he was going to be the next Okocha. But
he achieved more than Okocha.
I mean, in terms of playing style, the way he played.
Who? Yes, true.
In terms of being the most creative. Yeah,
Okocha didn't score that much goals, too, in his career.
No, I think Mikel scored way fewer than Okocha.
Six goals for the Super Eagles, Mikel. I think Okocha scored 13.
Yeah.
So that's just times two. And then we know Mikel Obi is always the man to score the crazy goals.
But Mikel has played, I think he's played more than JJ has. So that's also something to factor in.
All right, so I think your number two.
Like I said, Kanu. It has to be Kanu.
Papilo. You know the funny thing? Papilo is not on my list. If there was a number
can you imagine?
Six, Papilo would probably be my
very list. Unserious person. How? How?
You know why? I kind of separated them into a striker, a midfielder, a defender, then a goalkeeper. So my number two is Rashidi Yekini. So it's Nwankwo Kanu versus Rashidi Yekini. Mm. Definitely, Rashidi Yekini is the man.
For the Super Eagles, probably, but overall, in terms of overall career, I think Kanu would be the one that I would give it to.
Rashidi for me.
Because so you can't really, if you're looking at Super Eagles.
So it's my JJ Okocha versus your Mikel Obi in the first round. My JJ Okocha.
How did your JJ, where is his Champions League?
Then in the second round, where is your Nwankwo Kanu?
Isn't it only one Nations Cup that he has? Same thing with Mikel.
Rashidi Yekini. But do you agree Rashidi Yekini is more of a man?
Like I said, for Super Eagles, you can't look beyond Yekini scoring the first goal for Nigeria at the World Cup and being the highest goal scorer.
Two times Golden Boot winner.
Yeah, I mean, overall, in terms of...
The guy just always finds Nigeria. A way to always score. Always. Four,
and
five.
I think Kanu was a different type of player.
Always
Nigeria.
Getting people in the game.
Yeah. And I think for Super Eagles purposes, it would probably be Rashidi Yekini. But overall, in terms of what they did in their career and in terms of longevity...
Rashidi came at an era when it's difficult for any African to really blow. I think it was in Shooting Stars before he even got...
Yeah, but he also went to Portugal, then he went to Everton.
So he's a typical example of homebred. became a star at home, then he went, something like Ahmed Musa. So we are more,
I'm trying
to imagine like a Rashidi Yekini having as many opportunities as, well, Nwankwo Kanu had a lot of disadvantage and things against him, and against all odds it was still fantastic. So I really don't want to compare these two guys. They are guns. Guns. So my number three is the one, the reliable, you know, one Vincent Enyama. Like, you know, growing up and playing Winning 11 for a very long time, I used to see plenty Nigerian players, but they're always in the 70s range, maybe 79, 78. But Enyama was the first that I saw that was actually 81. And then even when I'm managing Chelsea or Real Madrid, I still buy him. And then he's always performing. That guy's his reflex.
Maiowa and his nepotism are one and two. He's, or five and six, rather. So if you're not Maiowa's relative and he blows, don't even be expecting anything.
Why? How?
Because nepotism now.
Because I bought a Yama to Real Madrid. No, that means if I blew, expect my people to be there.
All right.
I'm a true African. I gather my people around. But Vincent Enyama is world class, even during his career, world class. There are not many Nigerian players that you can call world class. Maybe the ones we've mentioned, even JJ Okocha, because he's not very serious. He's a world class dribbler, but is he a world class midfielder? Yes, you can tell. He's enjoying the game. You hardly see that era of football has passed. Very few people still play like that. Maybe Neymar. You hardly see footballers that are still playing to enjoy the game. Most people now is about, you can see Cristiano Ronaldo changing from enjoying to be, everybody now is about the results, it's about stats, especially with Opta. It made all these things worse. Everybody always wants
Opta
to check.
Opta has dribbling stats now too.
But nobody really focuses on that.
You'd be surprised. If you look at Hazard, Hazard was one of the best in the Premier League, and a lot of the times, I mean, there were seasons where Hazard had four league goals and we'd be like, oh, this is still one of the best players of the season.
But because not only that, he scores the important goals, especially for Chelsea, and then he leads.
You could say the same thing about Okocha for Nigeria anyways.
Okocha is very playful, and that's why we all like him though, because it came at a time when, you know, we lose all these games, but even after they beat us 2-0, we always almost see Okocha, he saws that guy. He's our source of joy. So for me, Vincent Enyama is number three, second only, I'll be third only to these guys, that is JJ Okocha and then Rashidi Yekini. Definitely Vincent Enyama is
My number three would actually be JJ.
Okay.
He would have been number one if his career went a bit better.
Yeah, because he was chasing the money.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, when you tally up these things together, these are just reasons why
it worked out well for him.
Yeah.
I only play with my feet.
Why are you advertising on our podcast?
Who knows? They can, because of this, come and sign us up.
Okay. Anyways, I think his career would have been a bit more glittering if some other decisions were taken. So true. Based on the talent that he had, based on
the
influence that he had on Nigerians as a whole, the way Nigerians even look at football.
Yes.
You know, this is one of the few countries that people really value, people who, like you said, enjoy playing the game.
True.
Nigerians would some Nigerians would prefer a Ronaldinho over a Lionel Messi, for example.
True. Because it's about
and
the
it's because of
they
the entertainment, exactly. And I think a lot of this is down to what we witnessed with JJ. So
true.
He was a truly great player.
He actually changed the generation, our generation, and how we see football.
Yeah, definitely.
He did.
So I think for that social impact, for his impact in Nigeria as well, I mean, there were some games where he really came through for the country. I'm thinking the 2000 Nations Cup, rather, the final where he scored two goals, the goal against Cameroon,
that free kick.
Yeah, exactly. Goals in qualification as well.
Yeah, he's actually more rounded than people give him credit for. And it's because that's JJ for you. He's just enjoying it. He's a born talent, because when it's time for him to throw like a very crazy pass, you still see him throwing all those passes. If it's time for corner kick, he's still a very technical player.
Anyway, I think the issue with him, one of the issues would probably be consistency.
Exactly, which is the same thing we're talking about. He's enjoying the game. He doesn't really care about consistency. He doesn't care about goals, about assists. He's there for the show.
Yeah, and another thing is, I think when he went to Bolton, one of the smaller teams in England, and was still giving the bigger boys worry.
Yes, that's to tell you the talent that he actually has.
Yeah,
we practically held Bolton.
But the problem is that in a lot of those games, he skilled out, he did all the tricks, and Bolton still lost. So it's difficult to then look at,
you know, the, you know, whole. The funny thing is that if he went to a bigger team, they might not allow him that freedom. Yeah, so
it's very possible.
Maybe going to Bolton is like the blessing that is a curse in a way, because by the time he now meets people that can actually tell him, oh, do this, he will not have any choice than to do this. And then I think when he gets to that point, he will no longer enjoy the game. So yeah, in as much as he was chasing the money, he did what he thought was best for him. My number four is John Mikel Obi from Jos, J-Town.
From J-Town.
He's your number one. I think we've already flogged Mikel Obi too much. No need to flog him again. Who's your number four?
Okay, so for me, number four would be Stephen Keshi.
The big man.
The big boss. Not just man. Big boss.
Exactly. One it as a manager, one it as a player again. Massive respect to him.
Yeah. And something that's interesting is a lot of people don't know, but he was a part of two of Nigeria's most successful eras. I'm talking the 80s, mid 80s to the mid 90s, which is, if you think about it, that
was
time.
Was part of the 94 now?
Yeah, he was. So if you think about it, it's not that common for a Nigerian player to be that consistent for that long a period of time, until we're seeing people now with the likes of Victor Moses, likes of Kanu.
Funny enough, there were, I think even Victor Moses was aborted at the prime. We're still supposed to still have Victor Moses. 29, I think 29, 30. Most of these other guys retired late, like 32, 34. Yeah. But Victor Moses left at a high.
I mean, so he, I think, won the Nations Cup, ones he had been
had
to the
benefits
Cup,
of longevity. It's not like now that we are seeing talents. Before we digest Igalo, immediately we are seeing Osimhen, next thing we are seeing Awoni, we are seeing Dennis. So now there's more eye, because definitely technology. Because even there were times when even in Rashidi Ekini's career, where he's not doing well in shooting stars, but he still gets called up
because he is who he is.
Yeah, because last time he played, he won the Golden Boots. Mm. And funny enough, he always still delivers. So sometimes there's always this argument. Let's even dive into it real quick. There's this argument. Sometimes people will be like, oh, as long as you're getting benched in your team, you should not get called up to the national team, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, why is it is not fair to judge players like that? Now, this person is in a higher team. You cannot expect, okay, John Mikel Obi is in Chelsea, but he's getting benched, like maybe in 20 chances, he's playing like just 13 games. And then you're now saying, no, we should not use him. We should go for somebody in Rangers. And I'm like, you can't compare the quality of this guy.
Exactly. And there are other factors to look at.
People are like, oh, he won't be match fit. Mm. I'm like, do you know how this guy is trained? Okay, to some extent, there's a difference between playing an actual match and then training. But when you know a player is good, you know the quality he has, you should still always be able to let them come to the camp. Let them come and prove themselves.
Well, yeah, let them come to
because
the camp.
Because now, you know, all our defenders are not playing. Most of them are not playing. They are just the ones that played in Nations Cup, which is normal. They left when their club football was still on.
Going on, yeah.
So it will take time. It's not everybody that will be like maybe Super Mendy that will just come in because he's the best. We know he's that good. So he can come and just quickly bench this guy. The fact that these guys are not getting is a sacrifice they made for Nigeria. That's what they are still suffering from. And then because of this, we are now trying to bench. We'll still talk
again,
about
I
Ghana,
think it's,
Nigeria.
It's a bit dicey because there are many factors to consider. Just in what you've said now, you've already talked about why they are getting benched. If the club, for example, is at a higher level than the other club, there are many factors to consider. So I think it's something that, yeah, like you said, we probably have to talk about on its own in a separate discussion.
Sure, we'll talk about that forever.
So number five. Who's your number five?
Joseph Yobo. That has a fine daughter and wife.
Wow, really? Really?
No, that
I
guy.
I mean, his wife was a busy queen, so what do you expect?
Very much expected. So, Joseph Yobo for me is very versatile. We don't really talk about it, but he can play as a right back.
He broke into the Super Eagles playing as a right back.
Yes. And there were times that he even
Agawa
played
in
DM.
The World Cup.
That was our defensive midfielder. Mm-hmm. The guy is very versatile. He's not colorful. I think he came at an era when defenders were not really, really appreciated. If it's now that we have a Joseph Yobo, we'll probably worship him more.
Yeah.
At that time, it was more about who's scoring the goals. So we not really get to see the beauty of what he does, because this is somebody that his tackling is like prime Wan-Bissaka, not the Wan-Bissaka that we're seeing these
days. Okay, thank you. Because I was going to say that. Are you praising him or insulting him? Well, I think Yobo was actually one of the finest defenders in that generation of Nigerian defenders. I think he was probably the best of them. That's why he rose to the position of captain.
Yes. And then he was very consistent too.
Exactly. He was very consistent.
Very, very consistent.
Also played at a reasonably top club.
Yes. Not reasonable. It was top. It's Everton.
Yeah, it's Everton.
Very top club.
Really, and he was there for a number of years. And then when he moved from Everton, he went to Galatasaray, who are also in Turkey, top club as well.
Yes.
Fenerbahce rather. Sorry. No, Galatasaray.
Oh, it was Fenerbahce.
Yeah, Fenerbahce. So for me, my number five, you've already mentioned, would probably be Vincent Enyama. Because I think he's probably the best or greatest goalkeeper that we've had.
He is. You know the funny thing? He came at a time when Iker Shoromo was at a high.
I don't think Shoromo was at a high, because even at that World Cup, a lot of people were asking why they allowed him to go for that World Cup, because he was getting on with age.
And but for a very long time.
And the problem,
you know,
the problem
we're comfortable with
that was,
with him.
No, the problem that with that was that in 98 we had Rufai and all the mistakes, and I think he was getting on with age at that World Cup and he shouldn't have been there. And then at the next World Cup, and then people were saying, oh, Shoromo should have been number one in 98. And then at the next World Cup, Shoromo was getting on with age and shouldn't have been the number one.
Shoromo was number one for two games, I guess. Yeah. Then when we're supposed
when
to
we're,
leave,
no, we're already,
we're not giving Yama
we're already out already. And yeah. Then Yama played against England and had a fantastic performance.
Clean sheet.
Yeah.
Against England, the likes of David Beckham.
Scholes.
Top and player. You know, for a very long time in World Cup, that Messi didn't score against Enyama.
Yeah.
We faced them twice.
Now, I think it was once, just that one game, and then in 2014.
Messi being wheeze. But not to take away from who Enyama. I think he's the best goalkeeper we've ever had, like I said before.
Yeah, and I think he also had a reasonably good career at a reasonably good club as well.
Yeah, he won CAF. You know, he was in Africa, he's one CAF player.
Yeah.
Yeah. He won several individual titles.
And also scored goals, which is rare for a goalkeeper anyways.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, he scored goals. He scored penalties.
Okay, penalties. Because I was wondering, how did he score? can't take any free kick. But massive respect to these guys. Honorable mentions.
Bafin Martins as well.
Obago. Who else? Honorable mention.
People like Christian Chukwu.
Yes.
I see.
You call the 094. Let's just leave them. These guys are
so they're
proud.
Exactly.
They're proud. You know, I was watching the highlights, the 94 game, and then I noticed that these guys were a load of comebacks. You know, to have that level of mentality, togetherness, they will always, it's like that's the joy. Score first. You know, you're playing and say, I give you one goal. Those guys are just something else. The whole squad is something else. The 94 guys.
True.
Something
true.
Else.
Who else? From Who the else, later generations. The problem with later generations is that, like I said, most of them weren't around for very long.
Exactly what I'm saying. So we are not giving them enough time or chance to shine. I think somebody like Chukwueze should still be there struggling with Victor Moses for playing time. We should still keep that.
So what about someone like Ahmed Musa?
Yes, we should need more people like that. Even though there is a role that these guys played, and that's how it has always been in Super Eagles. Even before Joseph Yobo went, it's not like he was playing all the matches back to back. So there are competition he goes for, he just played two.
There were times where Kanu went to World Cups that he didn't play. Yeah.
So we still need those guys to be there. It helps. If you look at these big teams, you can see Chelsea going for Thiago. We know this guy's 37. You can see Man U going for Ronaldo. You can see top teams going for older players, because there's this mentality. They have to get, see Barcelona going for Alves to bring back that mentality. It's like they should swear them in, like a swearing in. But for some reason, we are always here. I feel when we talk about the Ghana-Nigeria, we'll have more chances to talk about this, because they're saying like Montari is too old. Just like we're already saying we should kick out Ahmed Musa. But you can see the role these guys play to put your head in the game. I believe if we had more of these older guys in this last Nations Cup, if Ighalo was present, this thing would not have happened, because they'll be able to tell you, no, put your feet on the ground.
I mean,
let's do this, let's do that.
We did have some of them in the World Cup qualifiers and we nearly blew it. Like you said, when we talk about Ghana versus Nigeria, we'll probably talk about him more. But for me, another honorable mention would definitely be Ahmed Musa, because he's been there for... You'll be surprised how long Ahmed Musa has been playing for Nigeria.
He's been there for forever. Yeah. I think another person again is Odemwinge. That guy was fantastic, very instrumental. Is it this guy, Obudu or something? I like that guy too. Fantastic guy. Who else do we have? that about our
I think that's about it. Yeah.
If we didn't mention you,
I know we probably left out
so many
names.
People got on the spot. But that's for you to do.
Yeah, exactly. Is there if any, you feel there's someone not mentioned that comment that is
down below. That should be in the.
If you feel there's someone we've not mentioned that should be on the list, then you can definitely comment. Let us know what you think, anyways.
All right. So I think it was a cool podcast. Not much shouting and arguing. Maybe because it's nostalgia or nostalgic.
Maybe, and because we didn't mention Chelsea. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening to the Ball Gecko podcast. If you would like to comment, if you want to be on the show, you can just reach out to us on any social media platform at Ball Gecko or at the Ball Gecko podcast. See ya.
Straight on goal, Simon!
AFCON 2022. My name is Elozinam.
The boy is Shia Wolo.
We are live at the Ball Gecko Podcast.
Come on, it is electric!